Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Pesachim and Nun Aleph. We begin on Nun Amabez, two lines from the bottom. The Gemara is going to resume the conversation regarding the concept of Minhag, which was introduced by the Mishnah, Mokim Shenagu. In fact, we concluded yesterday's Daf with the concept that even future generations are meant to maintain the minhag of their parents, Shema Bini, Musar Avicha, Valtita Shter Semecha. Continues the Gemara. Bnei Chuzoi, the residents of Chuzoi, which was actually situated at a great distance from the center of Jewish life in Bavel, so they weren't such learned fellows, and they were concerned about the Kiyum HaMitzvos, and for instance, when it came to Challah, we're going to see they established a big Chumrah in order to safeguard and secure the Kiyum, the observance of Mitzvos Challah in the neighborhood. So Bnei Chuzoi Nogi, they had a minute, the Mafreshi Challah Me'araiza, they separate Challah from a rice dough. We know only the five types of grain, the chamesh nidogon, achayv, and challah, but not rice. And they had a minhag to be mafresh challah even from rice. Also, v'amru le'Rav Yosef. So some individuals came and told Rav Yosef about this strange minhag. Amru le'Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef responded, negate the minhag. Nechla zar ba'payu. A non-kohen should go ahead and eat that challah portion in their presence, to demonstrate that it's not really challah, so it shouldn't lead to confusion and pitfall. Eis ve'abayi. So Abayi asked Rav Yosef, how could you be mevatel a minhag? A minhag amok? Dvarim ha-mutarim v'acherim nogu ben yisr. Raisa says, if you have something which is mutar, but there are some people who are naig yisr. I'ata rashoi latirim bifneim. You have no right to be matir that minhag in their presence. Tosfos points out, we're speaking not about a minhag tos, something which was based on just ignorance, a mistake. Rather, we're speaking about something which was established. They know that it's mutter, but they want to apply a chumrah, a safeguard, a shmira on the din Torah, such as in this case where they wanted to be mafresh on oiris in order to maintain in their town, to maintain the observance of proper challah when it comes to proper grains. So how could you, Rav Yosef, be matir this minhag? Amar loy, so Rav Yosef responded, I know the braisa, but that only applies in a specific case. V'lav mi'itmar lo, haven't we learned a pshat on that braisa? Amar chizah b'kusoy, it's specific to kusim who are lax in their kiyum mitzvahs. And there's a concern if you're matir this, it's going to lead them to be matir other things, but ordinary people not. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean? Kusoy, my timer. Why do kusim have this unique status? Mishum de misruchi milsa, because one thing leads to the next. Hani inchi navi, these fellows as well, who are not such tamidah chacham, sarachi milsa. It's going to lead to other kulis. If you are mevatel their minig when it comes to rice, people are going to stop being mekayim mitzvos challah, even with respect to proper grains. So you can't be mevatel the minig. Elam Ravashi, since Ravashi, you know, it depends on the individual situation. Chazina, let's take a look. Let's take a closer look at this town. E Ruben Oiriz Achli, if most of them eat rice, that's their staple grain. In that case, Loy Nechla Zar Bapayu. A Zar should not eat their challah. Dilma Mishtakcha Teres Challah Minayu. Because perhaps, if you negate this minhag, the entire concept of challah will be forgotten in this town. Because this is their staple food, their staple grain. If there's no challah here, they'll just give up the whole concept. And they won't realize the differentiate between grain and not a grain, and they won't do challah even when it comes to the chameshes minidogah. So in this case, it pays to maintain this minhag. However, v'ruban dogan achli, but if most of these people eat proper grain, nechla zar ba'payu, in that case, it's just the opposite. It's better to eat. The zar should eat this challah, this rice challah, in their presence, to demonstrate to all that it's not a proper challah. Why? Why should you do that? Dilma osi lafrushi nachiv al ptor. Because otherwise, it might lead them to be mafresh challah from something which is chayv and challah, chameshes minedogan, on something which is potter. They won't realize to differentiate between rice and wheat, or umin aptur al achiv, from something which is pater, for instance rice, on something which is chayiv. Well, Tosis asks, how could you be mafresh from one minute on the other? In any case, you can't do that. So he says, we're speaking that it's a mixture. You have a rice and a wheat mixture. But let's say in one corner of this mixture, you have more rice than wheat. So they won't realize the differentiate between rice and wheat. I think everything is chayv and chal equally. So I'll take a large piece of dough, which contains mostly rice. And really, it's out of proportion because, let's say, this dough is 50-50. So they're going to be moitzi. They're going to use rice to be moitzi, the wheat portion in this dough, and you can't do that. It's ptur, rice is pater, minadin, on account of chiv. So according to Rav Ash, you have to take a balanced approach. Judge the individual situation. What's going to bring more benefit? So if it's mostly rice in this town, let them have their minig in order to maintain the concept of chal. If it's mostly other grains, then don't allow them to maintain their rice challah, because it's going to create confusion and pitfall. Perhaps when he goes and he makes a proper dough using proper grain, he might no longer differentiate and mix and match rice with wheat, which is a mechshel. So according to Rav Yosef, pointed out to them clearly, in any case, Abai responded, no, you're not meant to negate a minhag, which can lead to further kulos. Rav Ashi says, depends on the situation. What is more beneficial for the end result? Gufa, so we just learned the braisa, dvarim ha-matarin, v'achirim nagu ben iser, i'ato rashoi latir mifneim. So if they're not getting iser, on something which is technically mutar, you're meant to respect their minhag, don't be matrit. Omer av chizah, b'kusoy atzkinan. This is referring to kusoy, kusim, who are not so diligent in their kima mitzvahs, and we don't want to allow, perhaps it's going to lead to more kulis. V'kuli amaloi? Does this not apply to everyone else as well? V'atani, we'll enter a braisa, which seems to indicate that it does apply to other people as well. Not just to kusim. The braisa says, Reichatzin shnei achin ke'echad. Min hadin, two brothers can go bathe together. There's no concern if they see each other undressed, it's going to lead to improper thoughts, or mishkav zohar, as she says. However, ve'in reichatzin shnei achin be'kovel. In the town of Kovel, they were machal. Two brothers would not bathe together. In fact, there was a story, Umasa b'Yehuda v'Hillel, Banav sh'ram Gamliel. So Yehuda and Hillel, the sons of Ram Gamliel, sh'rachzu shneim ke'echad b'Kovel. They bathed together in this town of Kovel. Perhaps they didn't know that this was the Minhag HaMakom. V'lazu alein kol medina. And the whole town was in an uproar. What's going on? Amru, they said, mi'ameinu l'ri'inu kach. We never saw this type of behavior. V'nishmat Hillel. So one of the brothers, Hillel, slipped away, v'yotzol b'ayis achitzen, to the exterior chamber of the merchatz, away from where you bathe. So he wanted to comply with the minhag hamakom, but v'lirotzol loymer lehen mutar natem. He didn't want to. He didn't want to tell them that it's mutar, even though api halach it's mutar. So he went along with the minhag. Another example is yoytzim bikur dekisim b'shabbos. This is a type of wide shoe, which is a bit loose. A person technically can go into Shusram wearing this type of shoe. Ve'in yoytzin bikur dekisim b'shabbos ve'biri. In the town of Biri, they wouldn't wear this type of thing on Shabbos. They were concerned perhaps it's going to slip off. It might come to carry it for Amis and Shusram. And there was a story, Umasa b'Yehuda v'Hillel, Banav Shram Gamliel, the same two brothers, sheyotzu bikur dekisim b'shabbos ve'biri. So they walked down to the street in Biri wearing these shoes. V'laz alein hamdina. And the entire town was in an uproar. What's going on? V'amra, they said, v'yameinu l'ri'inu kach. We never saw this type of conduct. V'shamtim. So they complied. They didn't want to contravene the minhag. And they removed him from their feet. V'nosnum lavdeim. And they handed it to their servants. So they wanted to comply with the minhag. And the Fe'anayim asks, even a person's servant is meant to refrain from malachas, how can they give it to the Eved? He says, perhaps here it's not a din, it's not an isser, it's just an account of Maris Ayin. So it doesn't negate the minhag hamakom. So they took it off, but they handed it to the Eved. But they didn't want to nullify the minhag in their presence and say, well, it's mutter. So once again, we see that even when it comes to ordinary people, not Kusim, people of Biri, ordinary Yisraelim, we're not meant to be mata their Isra. A third example, the Yoishvin al-Saf Soli Nochem B'Shabbos. Minadin, you may sit together with the Goyim there on their benches, even though they're engaged in commerce and sailing on Shabbos. It wouldn't appear like he's involved in Mekka Chamemka. Ve'einor Yoishvin al-Saf Soli Nochem B'Shabbos Ba'akoy. In Akoy Dan Aminoy. And no, you don't sit on these benches. It looks like you're involved in business activities on Shabbos. Umasa, but I'm Shimon Gamliel. Sheyoshav asaf soli nochem b'Shabbos ba'akoy. He sat down on one of these benches in Akoy. V'laz olav kol medina, and the whole town was talking about it. Amru, they said, mi'ameinu l'ri'inu kach. We never saw this type of conduct. So he complied. V'nishmat v'yoshav agav karka. So he slipped off and sat on the floor. V'lerot zaloyim l'em turn atam. He didn't want to tell them that really it's something which is mutter. So apparently, not only Kusim has his halacha, has his concern. Any person, you're not meant to negate his minhag. Says the Gemara, Bnei Medinas Hayom Nami. This applies not only to Kusim, but also to Bnei Medinas Hayom, who live in towns which are situated at a distance from the center of Jewish life. There as well, there's a concern. If you go and negate the minhag, they're not talking to Chachamim, they'll start drawing parallels and say, well, if this is mutter and the other thing is mutter, and it's going to create a mikshul. Bnei Medina Sayam Nami, these fellows living in these outlying towns, kivin lo yishchichi rabban gabayu, since the Chachamim don't frequent, the towns are not frequented by Chachamim, kikusim damu, in this respect, they have the same halacha as the kusim, and therefore we must be careful not to go ahead and create a wrong impression. Okay, so this halacha applies not only to Kusim, also to Bnei Medina Sayam. Now let's analyze. We have three examples, three minhagim, three chumras. What is the basis? What was the reasoning behind these chumras? It has to have some sort of pshat. Bishloim esaf sali nochrim. We understand the reason to refrain from sitting on the benches of the goyim, which were places where they engaged in buying and selling. B'shun the Mexican Mecca Chamemka, it looks like he's engaged in commerce on Shabbos. B'kur the Kisanami, there as well there's a concern with the wide shoes. Dilma Mishtaf, and perhaps I'll slip off. I'll say, Lisa Yinu, Arba Amos Mishus Ram. He might come to carry it for Amos Mishus Ram. Ella Reichsen, my time of life. Well, what's wrong with two brothers bathing together? Says the Market of Sani, as we went in the Bryce. Ima Koil, Adam Reichsen. A person may bathe in the same merchatz with anybody's company. Chutz mi aviv, except for with his father, v'chamev, his father-in-law, u'bal imoy, the husband of his mother, stepfather, u'bal achosai, and the husband of his sister's brother-in-law. As Rashi will explain for us, there's concern about generating inappropriate feelings, inappropriate thoughts. Rabbi Yehuda Matib Aviv. He says when it comes to a son with his father, that's okay. We play covet Aviv on account of the covet of his father, so that he can serve his father. Apparently Rabbi Yehuda holds that the mitzvah will protect him. He's engaged in kibudah. Fourth in Lebal Imai, same thing applies to a stepfather. So this is min hadin. Anybody except father-in-law, etc. Va'osu inu. Now the residents of Kovel added a chumrah. The Gozer, they applied Xer and Isser, Bishnei Achen, with two brothers, Mishum Balachoise, on account of his brother in law. If you allow two brothers, perhaps it's going to lead him to do the same with his brother in law, which is us. So this was the background, this was the basis of their Chum. Tana, we're going to Tanabraisa, Talmud, Lo Yichatzim Rabbi. Likewise, a Talmud should not bathe with his Rebbe. As Rashi explains here, it's a covered issue, he's meant to respect your Rebbe and have fear. So refrain from this type of conduct. However, vim rabbi tzorach lemut, if his Rebbe needs him to serve him in the merchatz, in this case it's mutter. It's not considered a negation of his covet. Perhaps let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi here would begin 8 lines from the top of the Amud. Reichatzin. Reichatzin Shnei Achim Ke'echad. The Braisa says that two brothers can be in a merchatz at the same time. Ve'ein kan mishum pritzis. It's not considered appropriate. The name of mishum mishum mitzuyin yachad. That we should perhaps speculate since they're found together. Ve'achshav roin arum zeh see each other in dress. Noisen ish ayin ish ba'achiv. Lishko zachar can create improper feelings and thoughts and can lead to avir. We're not concerned. However, ve'ein roichatzin. Kaloyma ein noigim. In this makam kavul, they would have this chumra. Even two brothers wouldn't join each other in the merchatz. So that was the chumra in kavul. What about the chumra in biri? That was regarding the kurd kisan, ashkepunsha, ruchavim, these wide shoes or slippers. We're not concerned. Dilma mishtafe v'asi. Perhaps they'll slip off and they might go v'asi l'sayun and carry them. Ve'ein derech bnei biri, however, lotzis bekur the kisan. Minah, then you can do it. But in biri, they had a minute to refrain. Shehein noegin ben isa. What was the third thing, which was the minig in akoy, regarding safsali nachram? So minah, then one can sit on the goyish benches. Shehein moichim ben schayra would engage in selling and buying lechashin lechshad. Not concerned that a person will suspect him of being involved in business activities on Shabbos. However, in akoy, they had a minute to be machram. Proceeded with the braisa that a person can join anybody in the merchatz except for aviv v'chamiv. Why? Metoyach shereiu. When he notices him, v'niskar sham yatsa, and he recalls that he came out from his father. Noisa liba lehirer can generate improper feelings. V'chein b'chamiv, the same with his father-in-law. Noisa liba, he pays attention. He's noisa leiv shiyatsa ishta mikan, that his wife came from there, v'chem v'balachoyse, nami kerhura, same thing with his brother-in-law, can generate improper thoughts. However, says the Gemara, this is Rabbi Yehuda speaking, that when it comes to a father, you're allowed to, mishum kovid aviv, shem isham shem emerchatz. So this is min adin. However, in kovul, they were machmer, v'asa inu b'nei kovul, and they said, well, even two brothers, because it can lead to a brother-in-law as well. We had a braisa which said that a Talmud, l'yichatz im rabbi, Shetarach l'sbayish, mikvoidim, mikvoidim, meant to have shame and covet and yira. If he's a rabbi, tzarach lo, yishem shemshenim b'merchatz, then he's allowed to join him in the merchatz. Continues the Gemara. Ki asa Rabba Bar Bachana, when Rabba Bar Bachana arrived from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, ochol de'ayatra, he ate a certain type of chalev called ayatra. So this chalev is found on the stomach of the animal, the keva, which is a semicircle-shaped organ, like a banana. And there are two portions of chalev on this keva. There's the akashta, because it looks like a bone, it looks like an arrow, like a bow, right? It's a semicircle. And there's actually like a bowstring going from one side to the other. So the chela found on the semicircle portion is called the akashta, like keshes. The chela found on the flat part is called the ayatra. Yeter means a string, like a bowstring. So there was a machlekes between the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, who only considered the akashta chela to be asur, whereas the ayatra chela, the one on the flat portion, the bowstring, was not considered to be chela asur, whereas the Bnei Bavel, they held that the ayatra as well is considered to be awesome. So what happened? Rabbi Bar Chana arrived to Bavel from Eretz Yisrael. Ochel de ayatra. He sat down and ate the ayatra chelev, because according to the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, it's mutter. Oy legabei Rav Avira Saba v'Rabba Breidar Avuna. So these two entered, came to visit Rabbi Bar Chana. Kivan the chazino, as soon as he noticed them, kasi minay. He concealed the chalev. He didn't want them to see it. Also, v'amar l'abayi. So they came to Abayi, and they related to him the story. Look, we entered the house, and look, he hid it from us. Amar l'hu. So he told them, shavinchu k'kutai. Apparently, he regarded you like kusim. When it comes to a kusi, not meant to be matar, his minak, his iser. So he regarded you like a kusi, and therefore, even though he himself considered to be mutter, but he didn't want to be mutter, to conduct himself in a heter manner in your presence, for concern that it might lead to other isurim. You're like a kusi. And Marshal points out this wasn't an insult, but actually a compliment. that due to his high regard for your intellectual abilities and make pilpulim and shtiguch Torah, he was concerned if you see him, that if you see him eating this ayatra, he might go ahead and draw parallels mimata other things as well. Says the Gemara, okay, so he didn't want to do it in their presence, but we have another concern. We learned in the Mishnah. When a person travels from one location to the other, he needs to adopt both the chumrah of his native town and the chumrah of his current location. So, fine, in public, he didn't negate the minhag, but he himself, how could he eat it? He meant to adopt the chumrah of the current location, which is Bala, where they refrained from eating the chel of Dayatra. Says the Gemara, Rabba Bar Bachana, Leslie Hadesnan, does he not hold of the know the Mishnah? A traveler is meant to adopt a chumrah on both accounts, his former location and his current location. It only applies within Bavel. If he's traveling from one city to the other within Bavel, yeah, then you have to adopt the minhag hamakom. Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, or between two towns in Eretz Yisrael. Inami, or mibavel, Eretz Yisrael. So in these three scenarios, we apply the concept of the minhag hamakom. Avol, Eretz Yisrael, above a line. But if a person travels from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, such as Rabba Bar Bachana, there's no concern. You don't have to comply with the minhag hamakom. Why? Kivan de anan kafina luhu. Because since the Bnei Bavel are subordinate, a kafan, to the Bnei Eretz Yisrael. Rashi explains that the halachic authority in Eretz Yisrael was of a much higher standing. In Eretz Yisrael, they had smicha, they would engage in applying knas, kiddush hachodesh, ibrash hashana. So the Bnei Eretz Yisrael were much higher in their position of authority, halachic authority. So the Bnei Bavel considered to be kafaf to them, subordinate to them. And if that's the case, Avdina Kavasayu. So we can do like that, meaning if a person arrives from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he doesn't have to reckon with the minhag hamakom. Rashi explains, it's not going to generate machloikis in any way, because they'll recognize the high authority of the person coming from Eretz Yisrael. And that explains why Rabbi Bachana was not sensitive to the minhag hamakom, was not concerned about generating machloikis. That's one shot. Ravashi Omar Afilu Tema Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Even if we're speaking from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, and even then, you have to adopt the minhag hamakom. So even if the halacha and the Mishnah applies to Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, that's only hanamili heicha de'ein dat lachzor. When a person has no intention of returning to his former location, former town, yeah, then you have to adopt minhag hamakom. V'rabba bar bachana dat lachzor havo. However, Rabbi Bachana was planning going back home, therefore he wasn't bound to the minhag of Bavel. Let's see Rashi inside. So it's towards the middle, actually a bit under the middle of the Amud, which is exactly 22 lines from the bottom. So Rashi begins with the words Ochal de Yatra. This was Rabba Bar Bachana. He ate the chelev of the ayatra. Explains Rashi. Chelev shebekfifas hakeva. That's the chelev which is inside the bent portion of the stomach, shakefa kfufa vasuike keshes. It's bent and shaped like a bow. Va'ose chelev shivamakam ayeter. A chelev which is at the location of the bowstring. Oichlam bnei Eretz Yisrael. So Eretz Yisrael they would eat it. Bnei Bavel na'igam be'isra. They had a minhag that was asr. So he ate it, but then he hid it when his guests arrived. Sabaya told them, Shavin Chukikusoy, he treated you like Kusim. Dabrin Alel, we said earlier, Devarim Hamatarim, Vachirim Nogim Ben Isser, Yata Rashai, Latirim Ifneim, Vukmar Chizim Kusoy, he applied this to Kusim. Well, then the Gemara had another kasha. How could he himself be Makel? Aren't you meant to adopt the Minhag HaMakom? The Gemara said, depends. Hanemilim Bavel Bavel. Within Bavel, yeah. Mir Leir Bavel. The Kivan Delay Kaifel Adad, since each town functions independently. It's not that one is connected or kafaf to the other. If he's going to deviate from their minhag in their presence, it can lead to machlekes. Al Yishana. Certainly when he's from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, he shouldn't be Mashana. Al Yishana is Minhag HaMokor. Pnei Machlekes. Avol Eretz Yisrael, the Babel, over there there's no concern. In Yishana, it's HaMinhag, Babel, Enka Machlekes. Why? Danan Kafina, Bnei Eretz Yisrael. We're Kafaf to the Bnei Eretz Yisrael. The Inu Smich, they have Smicha, Babel is Smichi. So their authority stands higher. And we respect their halachas, and it won't create discord. Avdina Kavasayu. So in that case, we say we follow them. Kalema, in boim misham lekan. If they come from Eretz Yisrael, the bubble ain lam l'shanas minhagim. There's no need for them to change their minig hamokim. They maintain their minig eloisim kumkayman, and they don't have to follow our minig hamokim. The Gemara gave us another terence. I feel tevim Eretz Yisrael the bubble al yishana. Even if a person is traveling from Eretz Yisrael the bubble, cannot be mishana. However, when he's date lachsam, a person intends on returning back home. In which case, he's not bound, he's not committed to the minig of his current location. And that was a pshat in Rabba Babrachama. So in conclusion, the mission tells us that a person must follow the chumri hamokim, his current location. The Gemara tells us, well, that only applies within Babel, within Eretz Yisrael, from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, however, from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, because Yisrael stands higher in halacha, there's no need to adopt the new minhag hamokim. According to the second teretz, if he's date lachzer, intends on returning, he's not bound to his current location. Now, teretz adds another thing. This whole din of being committed to your current minhag, your current location, is only if it's a minhag chashev, which was established by Talmid Chachamim. But if it's just something which was grassroots minhag, it wasn't something that was a chashev minhag established by Talmid Chachamim, it doesn't bind. It's not binding upon the guest, the visitor. Now, Tosfos has another kasha. He says, if Date Lachsa is a factor, so if you intend on returning, then you belong in your old town. If you intend on staying here, then you're bound by the Minhag HaMokim. How do you understand the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, a traveler gets both chumras, the chumra of the Minhag HaMokim of the town that he left, and the town to which he arrived. Chumra makam shiyotze misham, chumra makam shahalach lasham. Says Tosis, how can you ever have both things? Memanav shach. If it's Date Lachzer, intends on returning to his hometown, then he's only bound to that halach, not bound to the local minig. If he intends on remaining, then this is a new town. So he gets the minig amakim, not the old minig. So when could you have both at once? Tosis says, you're right. The Mishnah is referring to two separate cases. When the Mishnah says you adopt the chumra of the local area, that's in the case where he settled here. He has no intention of returning. When the Mishnah says you get the chumra of your former town, that's when it's Date Lachs. In which case, you don't have to adopt the chumri hamakim, shalach l'sham, his current location. The Ran, however, says that the Mishnah is speaking in both cases, where he intends on returning home, but says the Ran, although halachically he's really not bound to the local minhag, because he's not a local resident. However, b'pnei ha-machlekes, to avoid the machlekes, he's meant to conform, at least publicly, with farhesia. Don't deviate from the minhag ha-mokim. Although b'tzina, privately, he can do what he wants, because he's not bound, because he intends on returning home. He's considered to be, as always, back home. That's the Tosis and the Ran. Continues the Gemara. Amalei Rabba Barachana Livnei. So Rabba Barachana told his son, Bni, my son, loy toicha. You shouldn't eat, going back to the chelav de ayatra, the bowstring chelav, you shouldn't be eating this. Loy befanai, veloy shalei befanai. Not in my presence, and certainly not, but shalei befanai, not in my presence. Why? Although I ate, you shouldn't be eating this. I myself, who observed Rabbi Yechon, who was a very high authority, I saw him eat. So I followed suit. Kedayu Rabbi Yechon, lismachalav, befanav, v'shalay befanav. So I can follow that, whether in his presence or even not in his presence. Perhaps since he did it in front of me, he didn't care that I saw him. Apparently, he was conveying to me that this is the halach. You can actually follow, you can actually keep this halach. You can also eat this chelav. So I got that permission from him. I got that psak from him. Although I myself am not a sufficient authority to actually conclude that this is the proper pshat. This is the proper halacha. But I followed Rabbi Yochanan's halacha. I'm relying on him because I observed him doing it. He did it in my presence. He allowed me to follow this halacha. So I can do it for the rest of my life, whether he's here or not. That's with respect to myself. However, since it's not my psak, I can't convey to others. I can't rule on this matter and convey that heta to others because it's not my conclusion. It's not my psak. It's not my personal understanding of the halacha. It's simply that I'm relying on Rabbi Yochanan. If that's the case, you, my son, you can't. You shouldn't be eating the sayatra. Don't rely on me. Ata lo yiru'isa isay. Since you didn't observe Rabbi Yochanan, lo yisaychal, you shouldn't be eating. Bein mefanai, whether even in my presence. Bein shle mefanai, certainly not in my presence. It's an interesting concept. That the father can eat and the son can't, because the father was granted that allowance by Rabbi Yochanan. He had the psak to rely on. But since it's not his own personal understanding, it's not his own personal conclusion, and he can't convey that to others. Apparently, Rabbi Bachana himself is in dispute of his own statement stated elsewhere. The Amar Rabbi Bachana. Here we're going to find that he did allow another person to eat something, at least in his presence, because since he had the heter from his Rebbe, so somebody else can go ahead and join him, so to speak, have it in his presence, as though he's doing it together with him. That much it. Shaloi b'fanav, if it's not in his presence, yeah, the other person can't do it. But in the presence of the Talmud, who himself conducts himself derech heter, that's okay. The Amar Rabbi Chana, Sachli Rabbi Yochanan ben Elazar. Rabbi Yochanan ben Elazar conveyed to me the following story. Pamachas nechnasti. There was once an incident that I followed. Achar Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi Yosi ben Lekunya legina. I followed him into a garden. This was on Shemitah. V'natal sfichei kruv v'achal. And he took a cabbage. So sfichin means something which is an aftergrowth. It wasn't actually planted, but grew from the seeds which had been dropped from the previous year's crop. So that's a sfiach, sfichei, sfichin. So he grabbed the, this was Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi Yosi ben Lekunya. He took a hold of this sfichei kruv and he ate it, v'achal v'nosali, and he actually handed one to me as well, v'amarli, and he told me like this, b'ni, my son, b'fanai echad, you can eat in my presence, shaloi b'fanai lo yisaychad, but not in my presence. If you're not here, if I'm not here, then you cannot eat this type of cabbage. Now what are we speaking about? So Rashi learns, this was on the Shemitah year, but after the Zman Bir. So there's no more produce left out in the fields for the animals. Torah says that a person has to do Bir, has to go and remove it from his possession, like Bir Chametz. You can no longer eat it, you have to put it outside. So we're speaking that it was already after the Zman Bir, there were no longer any cabbages available, but still, he went ahead and he ate it. Not only did he eat it, he handed it to the Talmud, and he said, you know, you can eat it, as long as it's in my presence. But shaloi b'fanai, you can't. Why? So he explained, ani shereisi es Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai she'achal, I myself, who actually observed Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai eating such a cabbage under such circumstances, because he held that even after the cabbage is no longer present out in the field, but the roots of the cabbage are still embedded in the ground, and that's enough to allow a person to eat cabbage. It's still, the supply is still available. So that was his sheet. So I saw Rabbi Shimon Yochai conduct himself in this manner, eating the cabbage. So I rely on him. Kedayu, Rabbi Shimon Yochai, lismachalav, befanav, shalav befanav. He's worthy to be relied upon, whether in his presence, or even shalav befanav. I received that allowance from him. Although I myself don't have the ability. Rashi says he's not a bar samcha. He doesn't have the halachic ability, the authority to go ahead and rule on such a matter. because it was actually a machlokes from Shimon HaChachamim. But since I saw him doing it, if a person sees the Adam Gadol doing it, his Rebbe, he can follow suit. Again, the point is the Rebbe did it in his presence, perhaps to indicate, yeah, I allow you to do this. I'm giving you this halach. So once you get that psak, you can do it throughout your lifetime, whether it's b'fanav or shalei b'fanav. However, you're limited. Ata, you who haven't observed personally, you never saw Shimon Rechai conduct himself in this manner. You're seeing me, a Talmud, doing it. So yeah, you can do it with me. Ata b'fanav echal. In front of me, you can eat. It's as though he's doing it together with him. He's joining him. So since this act is mutter, right, the Talmud can do it, right, because he saw his Rebbe. So when his Talmud follows and does it in front of him, it's as though he's doing it together with the Rebbe, who himself can do it. Simply one and the same act, one and the same mice. However, shalei b'fanav, but if it's not in my presence, lo yachal, you can't. Lo yisaychal, you can't eat. So who conveyed this whole incident? It was Rabba Babrachana, which indicates that when a person is mekabel halacha from the Rebbe, so although there's a dispute, there's a machlekes, and the Talmud doesn't have the ability to really pask it, but when he receives the allowance from the Rebbe, it applies not only to himself personally, but even to somebody else who's going to conduct himself in that manner in his presence. Because as though he's doing it together with the Talmud, who himself has an allowance. There's a heter throughout. That's in the second story, in contrast to the first. Rabba Barchana, who told his own son, I can eat the ayatra, because I saw a b'yechna, but you must refrain, even in my presence. So apparently there's no allowance, even in his presence. We don't say that when it's in his presence, it's considered like doing it together with him. We don't say that, we don't apply that svar. Says Amor, what's going on with these Svichei Kruv? My Rabbi Shimon, where do we find Rabbi Shimon Reichai, who allows the cabbage? The Sanya. Rabbi Shimon Oimer. So the Stan Rabbi Shimon and the Mishnah, the Braise says Rabbi Shimon Reichai. So he says like this, Kol HaSvichin Asur, certainly all the other Svichim are Asur. So once it's post the beer time, is no longer a supply in the field, you can no longer eat the aftergrowths. Chutz mi Svichei Kruv, except for Svichei Kruv. She'ein Kayyotze Behen, because they're unique. There's nothing like them in the garden and the vegetables out there. As we explained, because the kruv plant has some roots in the ground. So even after the visible portion has been removed, there's still some roots remaining, and that's considered part of the cabbage. As long as that remains in the ground, it's considered to be available, a supply available for the animals, and there's no din to do beer. The chacham, I don't know, kol ha-svichim asur. All svichim, including cabbage, once supply has been depleted, they're asr. So cabbage has the same thing like other vegetables. Whenever the other vegetables have been depleted, cabbage goes along with the same halacha. We don't reckon with the roots. The Gemara will tell us it's a gzera, because if we allow this, perhaps a person won't notice, won't realize why we are being mata, and is going to come to allow other vegetables as well, even after the supply has been completely depleted. Says the Gemara, Tavayu, Ali with Rabbi Kiva. Both Rabbi Shimon and Rabbanon are based on Rabbi Kiva. The Sanya, Heinle Nizra, V'leinesev Estvoseinu. So the Pasuk says, describing Yisrael going to say, how we're going to have what to eat on Shemitah, look, we can't plant, we can't gather our crops. Oh, Rabbi Kiva, why the repetition? If you're not going to plant, certainly you won't gather. V'chimachah she'en zern, if they're not going to plant, v'echen oisven, how can they harvest? So what's the point of the Pasuk? The Pasuk is coming to add something. A, you're not allowed to plant. Number two, you can't even harvest something which grew on its own. Mikan l'svichin shein asurin. So the svichim can't be gathered, and according to Rashi's Pshat, we're speaking after the Zman Bir. So this is the background. Okay, so what's the Pshat in the Machlekes? Between Rabbi Shimon, who says the cabbage is muta, Rabbanon say it's asa. Rabbanon savri, gazrina l'svichei kruv. Atu shvar svichei dam. Although the Svichei Kruv still have some roots in the ground, in which case the supply is still considered there and available, but perhaps if a person will eat this, he'll eat other vegetables as well, even after supply has been depleted. He won't realize that there's some roots in the ground. Rav Shimon Samar, no, legas rinan, we don't have this gzera, Svichei Kruv, at the Svichei Da'alma, and therefore he holds it's mutter to eat this cabbage. That's Rashi Pshat. Tosfos disagrees, he has many Kashis on Rashi. He learns like this, that the concept of Svichen is all-encompassing, any aftergrowth. For instance, a vegetable which grows on its own on Shemitah is really awesome. Whether in Torah, whether in the Rabbanon, different approaches. So he learns that Rabbi Shimon was Mater, Svichei Kruv. Why? Because it only applies to something which is like a Zera, a Zriya, but not a tree. And he says Rabbi Shimon regarded cabbage like a tree. Therefore, it doesn't have the Isra of Svichen. Where the Rabbanah said no, they made a Gzera, therefore allow this, well, it was going to allow other vegetables. And therefore, anything that grows on the Shemitah year is us. Any Svichen, any type of Zera, any type of plant, would be considered Svichen and is us. So what the Tosis doesn't relate to beer concept. It has nothing to do with the Zman beer. It's just the general halach. That anything that constitutes zera or vegetables, which grows even on its own on the Shemitah year, as a result of last year's seeds that fell, etc. So this type of aftergrowth is usher. This one from the Pasuk, that the Svichen are usher, and he says there's another pshat that's all the Rabbanon. And that's the background of Avah Gemara. Continues the Gemara, Hoylechem Makam V'chulu. So Mishnah tells us that if a person is a traveler from one place to the other, you follow the chumrah of both the former and current locations. And the Mishnah concludes, "Val yishana adam v'nei machlekes." The person should not be mishana from the minhag ha-mokim, not to create machlekes. So first, the Mishnah had a case where he came from a place which does malacha on Erev Pesach, and he arrived at a city where they don't do malacha. And then in the second case, he came from a location where they do malacha, where they don't do malacha, and arrived in a place where they do malacha. Says the Gemara, what does the Mishnah mean, al yishana adam v'pnei machlekes? Mishnah, we understand. In the first case, this would apply. If he came from a place where they do malacha erev Pesach, and he arrives l'makam she'enos. Okay? So, noisin olav chumri makam, in this case, we apply the chumrah of the minhag ha-mokum, refrain from malacha, and the Mishnah explains itself. Val yishana adam v'pnei machlekes. It shouldn't be mishana because it can create machlekes. Everybody else is idle, refraining from malacha, and he is engaged in malacha. That explains the halacha. V'lei la'avad, and he shouldn't engage in malacha. So that's understood. Ella, but regarding the second case in the Mishnah, v'makum she'enos, he came from a place where they don't do malacha. And he arrived, l'makayim shoyis. Mishnah says that he's meant to do the chumrah, the minhag of his formal town, refrain from malacha. But then the Mishnah continues, al yishana adam, v'pnei machlekes. But he shouldn't be mishana from the minhag ha-mokum. It seems to be a contradiction. You're saying, do the chumrah of your former location, refrain from malacha. Now you're saying, no, but don't deviate. What is the minhag ha-mokum? They do malacha. So v'na'avid. So this person should also do malacha. Ha'amris, didn't you just tell me? Noisin olav chumri makam shalach hasham. V'chumri makam shiyatzim hasham. We apply both chumras. The chumrah of your current town and your former town. So how can the Mishnah say a person should never be mishana from his minhag ha-mokum? In the first case, we came from a place that they do malacha, arrived in a town where they don't do malacha. So we understand. We apply the chumrah of his current location. And the Mishnah continues, don't be mishana, because of machlekes. So for instance, even if we're speaking that he's da'at lachsa, he intends on returning to his former town. As we claimed earlier, that doesn't obligate him any longer. He's not bound by the minhag ha-mokum, but still, don't be mishana, don't do malacha. Because don't create machlekes. So your current place, they don't do malacha? Keep it as such, refrain from malacha. That's good. But how does this phrase, al yishana adam v'pnei machlekes, apply to the second case? He came from a place where they don't do malacha. He arrived at a town where they do malacha. And you tell me, don't be mishana. Follow suit. Do the minhag ha-mokum and do malacha. Well, you meant to be bound by your former town, which is a place which doesn't do malach. Omar Bayarish, you're right. this phrase, Alishan Adam, Vipne Machlekes, never deviate from Nigam Makam, is only referring to the first halacha in the Mishnah, the Reisha. So he came from a town where they do malacha. He arrived at a place where they don't do malacha. Refrain from doing malacha. Don't generate machlekes. So according to Abai, it only refers to the first clause in the Mishnah. Rav Amar no, lo ilam ha-sefer. Certainly it's referring to the second case as well. He came from a town where they don't do malacha. Arriving in a location where they do malacha. Vachikamar. This is what the Mishnah means to say. We're telling you the chumrah of your former town applies. And although in your current location they do malacha, you refrain. What about machlekes? The fact that you're deviating, you're doing your own thing. Everyone's doing malacha and you're sitting idle. Isn't that going to create machlekes? This behavior, refraining from malacha, doesn't entail a shina, a deviation, ha-machlekes, which can generate machlekes. Why? Ma'ika amrs. Well, what do you mean to say? What's your concern? Haroya imar, the observer will say, why are you refraining from malacha? Malacha asura. I'll say, well, apparently he holds that it's asura. That's going to create machlekes. No, there's no concern. You know why? Because you're simply being inactive. You're not actively negating the minhag ha-makom. You're sitting idle. Meimar, Amar, Amri. People will just say, look, he has nothing to do. Kama batlan, ikavi b'shuk. He's not the first one that's sitting idle. Look how many batlanim are sitting out in the shuk. So he simply doesn't have what to do. He has no work today. That explains the halacha. How is it that a person who came from a place where they don't do malach and arrived in a place where they do malach, that he can adopt the chumrah of his former location and refrain from malacha? What about machlekes? So according to Rav Pshat, explains the Rush, on account of machlekes, on account of keeping the peace and harmony, it would seem that a person can even negate his chumrah of his former location. It overrides the sholem factor, overrides the din that a person is meant to maintain the chumrah of his former location, of his native town. And that's a pshat in the Mishnah. Why is no machlekes concern if he's going to maintain his chumrah and refrain from malacha? The answer is because it's not obvious. People will say, look, he's sitting idle, nothing better to do. And therefore there's no concern of machlekes in this case. So according to Abai, this phrase, p'nei machlekes, only applies to the first case in the Mishnah. So he's coming from a place where they do, arrived at a place where they don't. You also don't, because of machlekes. According to Rabbi, applies in both cases. And it's come to explain that halacha, and also the halacha where he's refraining from halacha on account of his former town. What about machlekes? There's no concern because it's not something which is an obvious negation of the minhag hamakom. Okay, let's review today's daf. Our daf primarily involved itself with discussion regarding minhag hamakom, and we learned the chiddush that if we have some people who adopted a minhag, and Tosis explains it's not just a minhag tos, it was something which they consciously adopted and established. We're not meant to negate that minhag. The Gemara says this applies strictly where there's a concern that it might lead to other kulois, for instance, to the kusim, or people that are living in outlying towns who are not so learned, b'nei b'dinas hayom. Now, what about the halacha that a person is meant to adopt the chumrah of his current location? The Gemara says this halacha comes with three exceptions. Doesn't apply to a person who travels from Eretz Yisrael to Babel. Because the second pshat in the Gemara, if he's datig lachzer, intends on returning back home, then he's not bound by the halacha, the chumrah of his current location. And also, Tosis points out, this only applies to a minhag chashuv, which was established by Talmid Chachamim. However, says the Ram, in a case where he intends on returning back home, where he's not bound by the minhag hamakom, but that's only to the point of being matur to do a bit sinna privately, but don't do it in public, which will generate machlekes. Indeed, as the Gemara concluded, that machlekes is a very important factor. In fact, Rava would seem to allow the person to actually do something which is overriding his chumrah of the makam where he came from because of the machlekes factor. And that's what Mishnah has to come, take pains to explain why it doesn't apply in this case, because it's not going to be machlekes, they see him sitting idle. It's just attributed to lack of interest or lack of activity. And we also learned about the concept of svichin and about the heter of afanav and shaloi afanav. Be well, and atzlacha rabba.